There's the bell to welcome you to the Warren County Radio Bible School. Now's the time to get your Bible. And if you will, I'm going to be reading in just a moment from Matthew chapter 20. What we are doing is looking at the great men and women of the Bible. And we have come to the great men and women of the New Testament. And now we are looking at that life and the teachings and events associated with John, the apostle of love. One of those events is recorded in Matthew 20:20 through 28. We referred to it in our last class period, but didn't have time to read it. And so I think I'll read that to you in just a moment. In studying these lessons, we are using as a guide a little book of Sunday school notes that was written by an old preacher named E. A. Elam. He was well known in Warren County and across Middle Tennessee in his day, and many of the churches would take his notes and use them in their Sunday school classes. Now, this particular lesson was written for the Sunday of July 22nd, 1923. And so we'll be doing that and looking at that as we study this apostle of love. Now, while you're turning to Matthew chapter 20, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, to understand some things about John and how, like Peter, John too had to grow and to come to a better knowledge of just who Jesus was and what Jesus could do in our lives and help us and humble us and actually make us greater by humbling us. Let me read this account to you from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. It says, "Then came to him the mother of the sons of Zebedee with her sons, worshipping him, and asking a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wouldest thou? She saith unto him, Command that these my two sons may sit, one on thy right hand, and one on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? They said unto him, We are able. He saith unto them, My cup indeed ye shall drink, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it hath been prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation concerning the two brethren. But Jesus called unto them and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Not so shall it be among you, but whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." There's other events we have about John that are instructed. He was with Jesus in the chamber of Jairus' daughter when Jesus raised her from the dead. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw the Lord in his glory when that voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He was not far from Jesus in Gethsemane when Jesus prayed in that garden that if it be possible, let this cup pass, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. He was the one that reclined on Jesus' breast and was especially loved by Jesus. and was admitted into Jesus' trial in John 18, verses 15 and 16. He stood by Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, he was right there, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. And to him Jesus committed Mary, Matthew 19, 27. When they heard that the sepulcher was empty, he ran with Peter to the sepulcher, and he actually reached it first in John 20 and verse 4, but he stood at the door while Peter rushed right on in. John was a witness of the resurrection and received with others the great commission to preach the gospel into all the world. He witnessed Jesus' ascension into heaven, and he was there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and Peter preached that great sermon and declared that to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, you must repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. John was with Peter when Peter healed the lame man at the gate of the temple, and he was in imprisonment and trials and in defense and in prayer that we read about in Acts chapter 3 and verse 4. When John was an old man, he was banished to the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1 and verse 9. And there he received those great visions that he wrote and recorded in the book of Revelation. John was true and brave and firm and faithful and unflinching under severe test. He wrote the Gospel of John, and we have three of his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, in that mighty, awesome book of Revelation. John lived to be an old man, some say into his 90s, and others say that he may have lived to be over 100 years old. Let's look at the explanatory notes that follow the text for this Sunday school lesson. I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 9, verses 49 and 50, where it says, John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not. For he that is not against you is for you. John introduces here the circumstance of one casting out demons in Christ's name who did not follow in person Jesus and the apostles. John would have forbade him to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, to pray in the name of Jesus, or to do anything else in the name of Jesus is to do so by his authority or power, through his worth or merit, and relying upon or trusting him. John forbade this man casting out demons in the name of Jesus for the reason given. He followed not Jesus and the apostles in person, in their journeys, and in their work. Jesus commanded some to leave all and follow him in person, that is, to go about with him. He called the apostles and others from their business and from their homes to go with him, that they might be the more quickly and fully learn his teaching. Well, all of his disciples could not do this. To follow Jesus truly is to accept him as the Christ, to receive and practice his teaching, to help the poor, to relieve the afflicted, to go about doing good, and in all things to obey God. This man, casting out demons in the name of Jesus, was not a member of some religious sect, a party differing from the teachings of Jesus and his disciples. It seems that John could have seen at once that this man could not cast out demons in the name of Jesus without this power from Jesus. John was mistaken in thinking the man should follow in the immediate personal company of Jesus and the apostles, and therefore in forbidding, for this reason, his casting out demons in Jesus' name. The fact that he could do this in the name of Jesus shows that he ought to do it. So today, whatever one can do in the name of Jesus, and wherever one can do this, one should do it. What one does in the name of Jesus must be that which Jesus requires, that which God commands. Nothing else can be done by the authority of Jesus. Jesus does not accuse John of being envious or bigoted. The Elam in his notes suggests that we read an account that is similar to this in Numbers chapter 11, verses 26 through 30. And here we read, "But there remained two men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested on them, and they were of them that were written, but had not gone into the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, answered and said, My lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Art thou jealous for my sake? Would that all Jehovah's people were prophets, and Jehovah would put his spirit upon them. And Moses get him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Joshua seemed jealous for Moses' sake because of Eldad and Medad, who prophesied in the camp. But Moses said he would that all Jehovah's people were prophets, and Jehovah would put his spirit upon them. But let us not conclude that all the mighty works and wonderful things which many claim to do in the name of Jesus are acceptable to him. Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But let us not forbid others from doing all the good they can do, whenever they can, according to the will of God, and in the name of Jesus. As a Moses said of Eldad and Medad, let them prophesy. So Jesus said of this man, forbid him not, and gave the reason. No man can do a mighty work in his name and be able quickly to speak evil of him. Jesus accepted the work of this man. This was a work Jesus had commanded to be done. This man had the power to do it, and was doing it. Hence, he should not be stopped. Doing this work in the name of Jesus was for him, not against him. Every responsible person is for or against Jesus. There can be no neutral ground. To do nothing is to be against Jesus. He that gathers not with Jesus and is not actively engaged in his servant is against him. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 30, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Note in how many ways the Bible teaches us the do-nots will be lost. Not only will the one who cast out demons in the name of Jesus be blessed, but whosoever gives so small a thing as a cup of water to drink, because the giver is Christ, or in the name of Christ, will in no wise lose his reward. We read in Matthew chapter 10, 40 through 42, He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the prophet's name shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.